Thank you for joining us for another great message. This week at The Door, continuing our series on relationships, Andrew Chalmers gives a powerful message on how we relate to those in authority.
Thank you so much for the amazing time that we get to have together. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just ignite a passion in our hearts for Jesus, that we would see you rightly. God, that we would trust your leadership, that when things get tough, that we would just be able to trust you. God, when things are going amazing, that we would still trust you. God, when things are kind of in between, God, that we would still trust you. Lord, I just pray that, God, you would instill in our hearts just a supernatural measure of faith and obedience and grace, God, that you would give us strength to continue to follow you no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through. Holy Spirit, you know every person in this room. You know their names. You know where they just came from. You know what they're going through. You know what they're about to go through. God, you go before them. You follow behind them. God, your hand of blessing is upon their head. Lord, you formed them in their mother's womb. God, every day of their life is written inside of your book. Father, you know us better than we know ourselves. Holy Spirit, I just ask that supernaturally you would speak to everyone in this room where we are all at. God, we're constantly being shaped into the image of Christ. We're forever growing and learning more and more about who you are. And so, Father, we open up our hearts, God, and we just say we want to humbly receive from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. Well, the last few weeks, the last 3 weeks, we've actually been doing a series on relationships. So, no, it's not only been about romantic relationships. We've been talking about a lot of different things based out of relationships and looking at the scriptures and just really discovering how we can have incredible relationships. And the first week, we talked about how our relationship with God and how our vertical relationship to him affects all of our horizontal relationships, that when you have a healthy, incredible, vibrant relationship vertically with God, then all of your horizontal relationships are impacted because of that healthy vertical relationship with him. And so if you want healthy relationships, if you want incredible relationships, it really starts with the first relationship, the first priority of your life, and that's your relationship with God. And the second week, we talked about friendships and really how to have incredible friendships. And then last week, we talked about conflict. So we talked about how to handle conflict, and we just began to look at like how we should respond and really God's perspective of conflict and how God can use conflict to work in our lives and how it can actually be an incredible thing. How many guys after last week had some conflict in the past week? Raise your hand. How many of you guys had something come up after hearing that message? Yeah, me too. So that's one of those messages, like if you're preaching on conflict or like perseverance or like patience, you know, get ready. Like if you go into a church and someone's preaching on that, just like you may want to just leave before you hear the whole thing if you're not ready for it. Just so, you know, you should just walk out because I know sometimes, you know, if you preach about something like that, sure enough, it pops up soon enough. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is we're going to be talking about blessings from honor. We're going to be talking about our relationships with those that are in authority over us. And how many of you guys know from the time we're born until the time we die, whether we are a janitor at Kmart or the president of the United States, there's always an authority in the world, not just God, but there's always some authority that's going to be over you. You're always going to have people that are over you. And so if we're going to talk about relationships, one important relationship that we should study in the scriptures is how do we relate to those that are above us? And for those of you guys that have been in the military or are in the military right now, this subject for you is probably like really simple. You're like, duh, you know, of course, as we're going to be studying it. For some of us, this may be just some new ideas and some new things as we study the scriptures and what it talks about, how we should relate to those that are in authority over us. But essentially what we're focusing on this is tonight, as we talk about our relationship to those that are in authority over us, I don't want you guys to be, I don't want you to have a bad sort of impression or a bad connotation as I say those in authority over you. A lot of times when you say that, or if you're having a conversation with someone and the idea of authority or the idea of someone being in authority over you or someone establishing their authority over people or whatever, there's been so much hurt and so much pain Even from like growing up as kids, you know, some people have been abused by those that were in authority over them, whether it was physically or emotionally or whatever, that a lot of times, like as soon as I said our relationship with those in authority, there's something inside of you that cringed. You're like, oh, authority. You know, it's just something you're like, oh, I don't, oh, you know, something inside of you cringes. You don't like the idea of authority. And I just want to encourage you guys that tonight we are going to be talking about our relationship with those that are in authority over us. But the key focus is going to actually be out of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And really, the key focus is this, that there are blessings that we can access when we live a life of honor and honor those that are in authority over us that we cannot access if we refuse to honor, respect, and serve the people that God has put over us. And so essentially what we're talking about tonight is that there's an incredible blessing that flows when we give honor to whom honor is due and when we respect those elders and the people that God has established in authority over us. And there's an incredible blessing from that. And so really tonight, the focus isn't so much on relating to those in authority while we're going to talk about that. It's really focusing on the blessing that you and I can receive if we relate to them in God's way, okay? So that's what we're going to be looking at. There's a measure of blessing and favor that is only accessible when we relate appropriately to those who are in authority over us. When we honor those God has placed in authority over us, we can be immensely blessed and avoid the repercussions of rebellion against those authority that God has established. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for that is right. Quote, honor your father and mother, end of quote. This is the first commandment with a promise. Say promise. Quote, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. What's incredible about this is that the Apostle Paul brings up an old, one of the Ten Commandments, and he brings this up in talking about relating to those that are in authority over us in Christ, that children, obey your parents in Christ, the people that are looking after you, the people that are pouring into you in Christ. You know, he's pointing us to respect and honor those that are our elders and those that have poured into us, those that are that God has established over us, that we would honor them. And he points to the Old Testament. And he points to this promise that comes out of the Ten Commandments. It says this, honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. And so that's the first promise that was given out of all the Ten Commandments. You have the first commandment. You have the second commandment. You have these huge, important commandments. And then suddenly, when God gets to the one commandment that has to do with honoring the authority that had put it, that was naturally put into your life through your parents, immediately he gives a promise. He interjects a promise, and it was the first time he did it. It's very interesting that none of the others had promises attached, but the one that dealt with honor and honoring those that are in authority and your parents, that he attached a promise. He said, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. In other words, you would be blessed. If you honor those that God has put in authority over you, there's a blessing that is available for you. How many of you guys want to be blessed? Raise your hand if you want to be blessed. Come on, name it, claim. No, just kidding. How many of you guys want favor on your life? How many of you guys want to see the biggest dream that God has for you fulfilled in your future? The biggest dream. I believe that all those times you raise your hand, that is directly attached to your ability to honor those that have gone before you, generations, even hundreds of years ago to even right now, not only people that are elders, but also the people that God has established spiritual authority over you, the people that God chose as your mom or dad, whether you like it or not, that the government, whether you like the president of the United States or not, that you would honor and that you would respect the authority that God has given you. I believe that when we honor and that when we respect those that are above us, that we are actually able to access those blessings. So if you want to see blessing in your life, if you want to see increase in your life, I believe that it really begins that one of the most important things is learning to submit to authority. Even the idea of hearing that said, especially when I first came to Christ, it made me cringe. The idea of submitting to authority, it was just totally way out the window. And if you guys don't know my story, I went through Teen Challenge in 2009, came out of a lifestyle of addiction, going to jail, getting in trouble, a lot of different things going on. I didn't want to respect or mind anyone. I didn't want any authority over my life, you know, and that's just the way I lived. And so when I came to Christ, I remember suddenly learning that I needed to begin to submit to those that are over us. And I'm going to tell you guys two stories tonight that I hope are funny and that they encourage you. So who are those that are in authority over us? One, our parents and grandparents and those that are elders in our family. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It's quoting the book of Deuteronomy. And clearly, our parents, we need to honor them. They are in authority over us. So if you were raised by your grandparents are authority, and you need to submit to their authority from one degree to the next. It changes, of course, as you get older, but you still need to honor them and respect them. Not only them, but also the governing officials, police officers, and politicians. 1 Peter 2, 13 and 14. It says, "For the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed. For the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right." And so in 1 Peter 2, and there's several other places as well in the New Testament where it says to respect those who are in governmental authority over you. And so we're actually supposed to respect them and to honor them. Not only that, we are also to respect and honor those who teach, preach, and are leaders in the body of Christ. Now, this idea can actually bring up some old wounds, because in the body of Christ, especially in the last 30 or 40 years, there have been several movements, and I'm not going to name them, but there have been some things even recently in the body of Christ where some of these scriptures were abused in a sense, where elders and leaders in the body of Christ, and it's probably still happening today, abused and controlled and manipulated and took advantage of people by using the authority that God had given them. But just because that happened doesn't mean we should swing the total opposite way and say, you know what, like, we don't need to respect or honor any of the God-given authority that he's given to those that are elders in church. So sometimes in response to something that's some way that people have twisted the scripture, we just totally ignore those and sort of swing the opposite way, right? Sometimes, you know, and so you know, just because you grew up in a super religious church doesn't mean you want to go into like a hyper grace mentality where you're crossing out half the Bible. You want to stay in the middle. You know what I'm saying? And so right here it says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work, and live in peace with each other." There's other scriptures, those that teach you, those that pour into you, those that are mentoring you, the people that are discipling you, they should be some of the people that you honor and esteem in the highest regard. And that's what the scripture says, and so we should honor them. Now, does that mean should we let them control and manipulate and, you know, do all those things in our lives? No, but we should always have a heart of honor towards those that are our leaders in Christ. Amen? We should also, if you're a woman, raise your hand if you're a woman. All right. Give the ladies a hand, guys. Come on. So the Bible says that when you get married, or if you're not married, that the man will be the authority over you. That when you, according to the scriptures, New Testament church, that when you're married, that the man is head of the household. That he is the spiritual authority over the house. And that you are to honor him as a leader and to respect him and to serve him as Christ should the church. And that in reciprocation, he should lay his life down for you as well. And it creates this beautiful picture of Christ. But women, I mean, you have an incredible privilege to model what it is to serve Christ in serving your husband and serving, you know, the man that God has given you if you're married, or if you're not married, your husband in the future. Amen? Amen? I guess half of y'all don't want to get married, but some of y'all are like, yeah, I'll take that. Amen. All right, and also your boss or those that you work for. It even goes as far in the scripture to actually say that if you are enslaved, that your master, the one who owns you, that you should, even though you're a slave, that you should still honor and respect the authority of the one that owns you. And maybe you're not a slave. Maybe you're a servant. Maybe you work for someone. Your boss, think about the boss, the person that employs you. Maybe you work at the ice cream shop at Penn State or wherever you work. You know, whoever that is, your manager, you should honor them and respect them and esteem them highly and bless them. Those are people that God has put in authority over you. Amen? So who gave them authority over us? The answer is God. Romans 13:1, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority, say all authority. Say it again, all authority. All means all, okay. All authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. All those in authority have been placed there by God. Wow. Now, there's two types of authority. There's direct authority and there's delegated authority, okay? So let's say you work at a business. Let's say you're working at an ice cream shop, okay? And the owner of the ice cream shop, I just love using this example. You're at the ice cream shop. The owner of the ice cream shop, he's there. And he says, hey, Jimmy, come here. Go get all that milk out there and whatever, you know, however you make ice cream. Get all that stuff. Go make me some ice cream. And you're like, yes, sir. And so you go over and you follow you obediently follow the orders of the owner of the restaurant, the guy who signs your paycheck, okay? But let's say that's direct authority. But let's say your boss, he decides he wants to not work 120 hours a week, but he just wants to work 40. So he hires two managers to take his two other 40-hour shifts, and he puts them over you. And then they come up to you, and they have been given authority by the owner of the restaurant or owner of the ice cream shop. And he says, hey, Jimmy, can you go out and get the ice cream or whatever you need to make the ice cream? And you go and you round that stuff up and you go make the ice cream. You're actually submitting to his delegated authority because he was given authority by the owner to help you know what to do and to instruct you and to be your leader at that time. And here's the deal. If you disobey the owner, it's pretty obvious who you're disobeying, right? If you disobey the owner of the ice cream shop, he says, go get me some salt and some, I don't know how you guys do it. I wish I knew more about ice cream. But anyways, he says, go get the milk and go get the whatever. And you're like, okay, sure, I'll do that. And you don't do it. Who did you disobey? The owner, right? You obeyed the direct authority over you, okay? The guy who signed your check. How many of you guys know that's not a good idea? Raise your hand if you know that's probably not a good idea. You will not be working there very long. I promise you that. Even if you pray really hard, he's probably still going to fire you because you're not obeying him. He's running a business. He just needs you to do what he asks, right? But if he hires a manager and the manager asks you to do the same and you disobey the manager, you're still disobeying the owner because the authority has been given to the manager by the owner. And that's delegated authority, okay? So here's the idea of delegated authority and direct authority. If God tells you you've wronged someone and you need to go apologize to that person in your heart, he tells you that, and you say, no, Holy Spirit, I am not going to apologize to that person needs to apologize to me. And for weeks, you just avoid that. You are in direct disobedience to the person of God and the Holy Spirit. You are directly disobeying what God is telling you to do, right? But also, the same is if God instates authority in your life, let's say you're connected with a local church and your local pastor, he has been given authority over your life, and you're asking, you know, whether or not you should do this or you should do that. Maybe it's a relationship, and the pastor sees glaring things in that relationship. It's just not a good time, or it's just not a good situation. And your pastor says, you know what? This is not good right now. Right? And you direct, like, let's just say they say blatantly, no, like, this is really bad for whatever reason. Then in that place, you're disobeying the authority that God has established over you. And it's as if you're disobeying the authority of God himself. Does that make sense? Now, I'm not saying that leaders should necessarily be able to control your relationship decisions or where that is. And I'm not trying to draw those lines. But here's what I am saying. That God has established authority on the earth. And when you break the laws of the land, you're actually breaking the laws that God has established through the authorities of the law of the land. Does that make sense? You're disobeying God when you're disobeying the laws that the authority of the earth has established. You guys agree? Somewhat? So if all authority has been established by God, that means that God has established those upon the earth that are in authority. And when we are submission to them, guess what we're doing? We're in submission to God. But when we are in rebellion against those that are in authority over us, we're not just in rebellion against them, we're actually in rebellion against God. Okay? So we don't want to do that because we want to be able to honor and respect and esteem those that are put above us. So here's what honor is. Honor is recognizing the significance of someone's place in your life and being in a place where you can receive encouragement and correction from them. Honor is the condition of your heart that is outwardly expressed through the way you demonstrate respect to someone and how much you value their place in your life. You want me to read that again? Honor is recognizing the significance of someone's place in your life. It's saying, you know what? God has placed you in my life as an authority in my life, and I see that this is significant and this is important, that you're my boss. Maybe you're a mean boss. Maybe you cuss like a sailor. Maybe you're not even a Christian, but I'm working at this place, and for whatever reason, there's a significant reason that I'm working for this guy. And you recognize that, you honor them. You're saying, you know what? This guy is almost a lunatic. I don't know how much longer I can work here. But while you're still working there, you choose to say, you know what? I'm gonna see the significance of this person in my life. That's giving them honor. Does that make sense? Being in a place where you can receive encouragement and correction from them. So when you're showing someone honor that's an authority over you, one of your elders or your parents, you're showing them that you're able to receive from them. And that's a way to show them honor. I can receive from you. Honor is the condition of your heart that is outwardly expressed through the way you demonstrate respect to someone and how much you value their place in your life. It's a condition of your heart that's demonstrated outwardly. It's something that's inside that when that person is around or whenever you're in a given situation, it's just naturally outwardly expressed that you honor their authority in your life, right? If you guys don't have kids, it's hard to really understand this example, but there's a stark difference when I, as a dad, ask my son Landon to go out and take the trash out, okay? I can tell the condition of his heart, whether or not he's honoring his father and his mother. How can you tell? How he responds to my request, right? I've been given authority over my son, right? Been given authority by God over him. And I say, son, all right, it's trash day on Tuesday. Take the trash out, okay? And the way he responds, or the way I responded to my parents when I was little, because I'm no different than him, but the way that he responds, you know, it really shows me as a parent, is he honoring me or is he not wanting to honor me in this moment, right? Can you guys imagine little kids not honoring you? What do? They squirm. They're like, no, I don't want to do that. You know, it's like that. What did you do as a kid, you know? But can you put yourself back in a place? Can you remember times, maybe extremely rare, that was in my case, that you actually did honor your parents? Where when they asked you to do something really hard, you were like, you know what? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Can you guys remember any of those occasions? No. Okay, two of you guys did that. Raise your hand up high if you did that as a kid. Don't you guys remember just the favor they showed you after that? The blessing they gave you, the extra ice cream they gave you, you know? And it was because they sensed that you were being obedient to them because you were honoring them, right? You can tell when someone is honoring the authority that's been put over their life. You can tell the difference, right? And it's really a condition of the heart. Danny Silk, he says this, the principle of honor states that accurately acknowledging the people who are in position will give, that God has given to us, that we will give to them what they deserve and receive the gift of who they are in our lives. God's given you a position in my life, and I'm going to give you honor so that way I can receive the gift of who you are in my life. And this has to do with an incredible leader that God's put over you and a horrible leader that God's put over you, okay? That we would always begin to recognize the gift that that person is in our life, that we would begin to honor them and respect them and esteem them, even your parents. And I just want to pull back on that example. If your mom or your dad, maybe your dad is a deadbeat drunk, you haven't seen him in 15 years, and honestly, tonight, you still hate his guts. I want to encourage you to forgive your dad and to begin to honor him and to speak life over him, even though he's a deadbeat dad. But just because the word of God says to honor your father and mother, for your sake, forgive him, release him, and begin to realize that he's a gift and begin to honor him and begin to change your allow the Holy Spirit to help you to change your perspective of him, okay? That we would begin to honor those, even that we have a hard time honoring. I believe that that really opens our lives up to incredible blessings. Danny Silk, he says in this book right here, it's called The Culture of Honor. Honor creates life-giving and life-promoting relationships. The key here is accurately acknowledging who people are. We can only do this when we recognize their God-given identities and roles. This is what we see in the statement of Jesus. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. So here's just what I want to say real quick. Those that God has put over you, they carry treasure that you can only get from them. God's given them treasure that you can only get from them when you begin to honor them as your leader and as your elder. If you'll honor a prophet, you'll receive a prophet's reward. If you honor a righteous man, you'll receive a righteous man's reward. If you'll honor your elders and your leaders and those that God has put over you, guess what? You're going to begin to receive the reward of the incredible treasure that God has put inside of them. Amen? And so as you begin to honor them, what happens is then you begin to reciprocate the blessings and the treasure of what God has put inside of them. How many of you guys want more blessings, more wisdom, more clarity, more discernment, all those things? The best way to begin to access that is not only just seeking the Lord and getting into the secret place, but also finding people that you can submit your life to, people that you see have great respect and great integrity, and begin to say, you know what, I want to honor you, and I want to begin to receive from you what God has established inside of you. Honor is a necessity in God's kingdom. When we honor people, we are able to receive things from them. God's kingdom is not a democracy. His kingdom is set up exactly the way it sounds. It is set up as a kingdom. And in his kingdom, there is a structure and an order that will be in place for all of eternity. In order for us to access the blessing from God, we must be willing to honor those above us because they are a key to us accessing the funnel of God's grace, wisdom, power, and anointing. 1 Corinthians 12, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then the gift of healings, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. This is just one example of the New Testament order of the church. How many of you guys know that in heaven, there's actually going to be a hierarchy? When we go to heaven, there will be people in the room that are above you, and there will be people in this room that will be below you in a hierarchical status. Like, you'll know who's where. Because it's a kingdom, it's God's kingdom, and it's the way that he built it. And so even though we live in America and we're all about democracy, and it's a great thing here and now, the reality is that in the future, we will live in a kingdom where his rule and reign will be established. He will be at the very top, and then there will actually be a structure by which all of heaven will be orchestrated. And really, the lowest now, the most unseen now here on the earth will actually be the most exalted in heaven. Isn't that awesome? So if you feel unseen, if you feel like your work is going unnoticed, what's incredible is you're actually winning favor in the eyes of heaven. That's pretty awesome. As heaven comes to earth, as God's kingdom comes, also the way that God's kingdom is established must come on the earth as well. It says first apostles, then prophets. And it continues to go down the line. What that shows us is that God has actually put people over people. And he's created a heavenly structure that models what's it like in heaven. He's actually created it here. And when we honor that model, and when we honor the God-given structure of his kingdom, then we begin to receive the blessings and the favor of being submitted to the way that God created things to operate, okay? And so as you look around, just know that there are people that God is going to put above you, and there's going to be people that God will put below you, in a sense that in the future, you're going to be a leader, and God's going to put you over people, and then you're always going to have people above you. And if you want to begin to access heavenly blessings, it's going to require you to begin to submit, encourage, honor, and bless those that are above you. How can you bless the leaders that God has put in your life? Who are the leaders that God has put in your life? Who are the elders in your life that you really look up to? Do you let them speak into your life? Do you esteem them for what God has put on their life? Do you see the treasure that they carry so that you can receive that treasure reward for your own life? Are you able to honor them in such a way that the incredible things God has put on them, that you can receive that? Or are you so consumed with only seeing the bad things in the leaders around you that you're incapable of receiving the treasure that God has put inside of them? And that's what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to pick people apart that God has put above you. He wants to pick your parents apart. He wants to pick leaders apart around you. Why? So that you're incapable of receiving the treasure of what they carry. And you're incapable of giving them the honor that they deserve. We're called to honor those that God has put above us. Are there exceptions? Ask your neighbor, are there exceptions? The only exception that I found in the New Testament is actually, I'm gonna read it. Well, I don't have it. So, but looking at the subject of honor and submitting to those whom God has put in authority to us, it can be a hard subject and leave a lot of questions. How many of you guys have questions right now as I'm saying stuff? You're like, I question some of what I'm hearing, or this is a hard subject. Raise your hand. Like, this stirs something inside of me. I don't know if I agree with all of it. Okay, if you just raise your hand, I want to encourage you that that's a great place to be, okay? Don't just take my word for it just because I'm saying this stuff. What I want to encourage you guys to do is, on the subject of authority and honoring those in authority, you need to go to the scriptures, and you really need to search this out and understand what the Bible says. One, so that way you can guard your own heart from being manipulated and getting into a bad situation, but also so that way you can begin to receive God's blessing and walking in this in a way that honors the scripture. Looking at the subject, it brings a lot of questions. The best place to go is to continue to go to God's word and seek the Lord in prayer. I want to read to you guys this just out of this book. How many of you guys have ever read anything by Watchman Nee? Anybody ever read it? Cool. Really hard to understand sometimes, but I'm going to read this. It says, the whole New Testament stands behind delegated authority. The only exception is found in Acts 5:29, when Peter and the apostles answered the Jewish council who forbade them to teach in the name of the Lord Jesus. Peter answered by saying, we must obey God rather than men. This was due to the fact that the delegated authority here had distinctly violated God's command and trespassed against the person of the Lord. Such an answer as Peter's can only be given under this particular situation. In all other circumstances, we must learn to be subject to those delegated authorities. We can never bring in obedience through rebellion. How many of you guys love Martin Luther King? You know why Martin Luther King was so successful? Because he fought against injustice God's way, when everyone else wasn't. Everyone wanted to take up arms and to fight and to break the law and to begin to cause an uproar. But Martin Luther King knew the word of God. He was a preacher. And he knew that they could simply begin to take a stand, but do it in a way that still honored the authority in their lives. And that's what they did. And they were beaten for it. They wouldn't fight back. They would just be beaten and just all this stuff happened to them. But ultimately, because they were under something that was ungodly, but they fought against that injustice, but they did it God's way, I believe that's one of the reasons why the civil rights movement under Martin Luther King was so successful, was because he did it in a way that honored God and he did it God's way. So there are exceptions. The main exception is in the scripture. Is someone telling you to do something directly against what the word of God says, okay? So if someone is instructing you to do that, like that's what happens in cults, where they're controlling people, they're manipulating people. One of the biggest things you can tell is they're beginning to instruct people to go directly against the word of God. So that typically, one of the big red flags is someone instructing you to participate in sin? Is a leader forcing you into sin against God that God has clearly instructed you? Or are they trying to get you to stop, like, believing in Christ? Or if someone says, listen, if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, you know, we're going to put you in prison. You should disobey them and say Jesus Christ is Lord and go to prison. Okay. Like you should disobey them in that moment. But, we still want to honor our leaders, but except when they're instructing us to go against the word of God. So what about when we have a bad leader or someone is really hard to follow? And you guys have that question? What about when we have a really bad leader? Should I still honor and respect someone who's a horrible leader? How many of you guys read the story of Daniel? Daniel only disobeyed when it went directly against his relationship to God and what God had instructed him to do, right? He would not eat the food. The king had instructed that all of them were to eat the food, but he disobeyed them. He got permission, though. And then also, he wouldn't bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't bow. But ultimately, they honored the king. And you see this in Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, they're all about to get killed. And Nebuchadnezzar says, if you can't interpret my dream, you're all about to die. All of the fortune tellers and all the, like, wizards of their day. And Daniel was one of them. He was like a prophetic guy and he could hear from God. And so he was a part of that big group. And he said, okay, if you can't tell me what my dream is, you're all going to die. And what's incredible is when Daniel comes in, the first thing that Daniel does is he honors the wicked king. He honors him and he esteems him. And then he gives the dream, he gives the interpretation. And what's incredible is then in return, the king honors Daniel. Read Daniel chapter 2. He steps in honoring a wicked, vile king who literally at any moment is about to kill him and all of his best friends, okay? That's how many of you guys ever served a leader that was threatening to kill you? Not me, okay. This guy is about to kill him and he comes into his presence and if you read it, he's obviously honoring him and esteeming him as the authority over his life. He respects him, even though he's wicked. And then in return, what's crazy is Nebuchadnezzar actually falls down before Daniel and esteems and honors Daniel. So honor reciprocates honor. It's like this cycle. If you'll honor those that are above you, they will begin in turn sometimes to honor you as well. David also honors King Saul because he still had authority as king over Israel. I mean, you guys have read that, where Daniel's running from King Saul and he wouldn't kill him because he knew that he was still God's man at that time. That even though he had been anointed king, God's man was still alive, and it would be unright for him to kill him. In fact, when they finally do kill Saul, they kill the guy who killed the bad king. Why? Because they were going in direct opposition to God's established authority, and David knew that. David knew that even though he had been anointed king, that it was God's responsibility to make the wrong things right, not his. That it wasn't okay for him to be in rebellion to make the wrong things right. He needed to trust God's leadership that God would take care of that hard situation. Our entire lives, we're going to have people that we're subject to, whether we like it or not. And we have a choice. One, we can honor, we can esteem them, we can respect those, we can respect our parents and the people above us. These are relationships that are going to happen. But or we can also reject their authority, push away from them, dishonor them, and be in rebellion towards those that are above us. But if we're able to honor the people that God has put over us, we can access incredible blessings. I want to share with you guys two stories, okay? The first story that I want to share with you guys is just really, really, really simple. And this is one of the first lessons that I learned about this area right after I got saved. So right after I was saved, I was in a ministry called Teen Challenge, and I was in Texas. And I had been out there for just a few months. And right after I got saved, I was on fire for Jesus. And they saw the dramatic transformation of my life. It was like black and white, like suddenly I was a different person. So here's what happened. Because I was so dramatically changed, my behavior changed. And because my behavior changed, suddenly they gave me great measures of authority within the program. Like favor was all over me. Like I could just do all kinds of stuff. They were like, let me do this, let me do that. In this program that was for 1 year long. And basically they started to put me in leadership over the students in the program. And I had all these, you know, like incredible privileges. Like I could have phone calls every day and just stuff. You guys don't understand, but if you've ever been to Teen Challenge, like you don't get to do phone calls. Like you don't get all these privileges. So if you get them, you're like, yes, I get phone calls every day. You know, you're like excited about this privilege. And I'll never forget, one day I get called into the office and I'm in trouble. Okay. And right now I'm 22 years old. Okay. So I'm going back to the principal's office. And now I had been to the office before, but this was, you know, BC. I'd been to the office because I was actually doing stuff I shouldn't have done. And I remember going and sitting in that seat. So suddenly I get called in the office. And now like I'm a leader. I'm like big stuff, you know, at Teen Challenge. I'm like a leader here, you know? And so they call me in and they're like the couches of doom all outside of the director's office. There's like this big foyer of couches and they're like the couches of doom where all the people who got in trouble, they have to sit there and wait for their punishment. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, surely I must be here because I saw something. They just want me to accuse, you know, I'm just here to back them up or something. The staff, you know, like they just need my support. Maybe they're going to promote me. You know, I don't know. I don't know what's happening. That's what I'm thinking. And so finally, like they go through everybody. And like one of the last people, they're like, Andrew, come here. And they like weren't excited or anything. And they bring me in and the whole staff, they're all in this room. And I like sit down in the hot seat, you know, and I have all these people looking at me and I'm like, oh no, what did I do? You know? And they're like, we need to talk to you about something. And I was like, okay. And they said, you've been doing a great job. You've been doing a great job. But we have a write up here that we need to deal with. And so Kevin here, he says that you were wearing tennis shoes to chapel. And so you're going to be on restrictions for the next week. And I was thinking in my head, I'm like, I wore the wrong shoes to chapel. And you're putting me on restrictions for a week. And I'm losing my privileges. I'm not going to make a phone call. Like, what? I've been wearing tennis shoes to chapel my whole program. So for 6 months, I've been wearing tennis shoes to chapel. And all of a sudden, randomly, he writes me up. And so I'm sitting in the office. And Kitchen Kevin is what everybody called him. He was like the kitchen Nazi. He was crazy. Just awesome, awesome Teen Challenge worker. But super trying to me. he tested me. He was like ex-military. Like, get in here. You know, wash the dishes. Like, he was so mean to everybody. But God used him mightily in my life. I'll tell you one more story after this. So they slapped the discipline on me, and here's what happened. My heart was not truly submitted to their authority or their leadership in my life, and I suddenly just began, this spirit of rebellion rised up within me, and I started to oppose and even just despise the staff. I just couldn't stand them because they had given me, you know, a student leader, 7 days of discipline for wearing the wrong shoes, and I really, like, took it personally. And I immediately, like, this spirit of rebellion came up in my heart, and I began to oppose them and push back, and I was angry, and I was bitter, and I was prideful, and I was like, how could you know, like, I almost felt like I was above them, which is crazy to think that, but I felt like I was over them, even though they were obviously over me. I was submitted to a program, and I, you know, it was just obvious, the structure, and so they saw that, and as they began to see that, a week later, they called me back in the office, and they saw that I had such a horrible attitude. You know what they did? They stripped everything away. Everything. Every single privilege, and I went back to square one at 6 months. Everything. Because literally, my heart was so rebellious and angry towards them that what they did, and I'm so thankful, I'm still connected with David Thiesvall. I just wrote him a letter a week ago, just thanking him for all the way he blessed my life. But they stripped everything away, and I'll never forget, the next day, instead of going into the air conditioning in South Texas, I was in the middle of the summer, instead of getting to go in the air conditioning every day and like sit in front of the computer and do what I was doing, I had to go outside 110 degrees with a weed whacker for 12 hours a day. And I just remember spending all day outside just weed whacking around the campus. Every privilege taken away, everything that I thought was so needed in my life. And I became more and more angry. And then suddenly I broke. And I realized that God wanted me to submit to them, that God wanted me to honor them as my leaders, and that God wanted to teach me something. He wanted to humble me before them so that way I could receive from them. And what's crazy is finally when I broke, it's like everything began to change. I had been waiting for months. I had asked and been moved from a program in Texas to Georgia so that I could be closer to my son. And they said, no, no, no. Every time I put in the request, they kept saying, no, 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 no. And literally, 3 or 4 days after, I remember I had the breakthrough where finally I realized what God was trying to show me. The door opened and I was coming to Georgia. It was like as soon as I learned my lesson, God was trying to show me that even though I couldn't stand Kitchen Kevin and I couldn't stand the fact that he wrote me up for wearing tennis shoes to chapel, that I should have still honored him, that I broke the rule. I signed up for the program. I should have just submitted to it and said, you know what? You're right. I was wrong. But instead, I wanted to reject it and push it back. And all that cost me something. But here's what the reason I'm bringing this story up. There's a blessing that comes when you finally begin to submit to those that God has put around you. There's a favor that will come in your life. If you're a child and you're in the room and you're listening right now, or you're an adult, if you want favor from your parents, if you want that extra scoop of ice cream, kids, if you want them to stop by McDonald's on the way home whenever you're leaving school, not because you asked, but just because they wanted to, what do you need to do? If you start to honor your parents and show them that you have a great attitude, your parents naturally out of an overflow are going to start to release favor and blessings over your life. Why? Because they want to reward that heart. They just say, wow, man, that means so much that you would honor me and respect me as your dad. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with your boss. If you work at a really hard place and your boss is just irritating, guess what? Just start honoring them like crazy. Even though all your coworkers talk trash about that person behind their back, maybe even to their face, start to honor them in front of the coworkers and honor them, not manipulate them, but honor them to their face in truthful ways. Call out the treasure you see in them. Watch the favor that'll begin to be released, not just from God, but from man. You'll receive the favor of man as you begin to honor those that God has put above you. How many of you guys want favor and blessing and increase in your life? If we begin to see the treasure that's in those that God has established over us, the people that are older than us, the people that have been serving the Lord longer than us, then we can receive a mighty blessing. Our entire lives, we're going to have people that we're subject to, whether we like it or not. And we have an opportunity to love and honor and serve those whom God has put over us. As we honor them, we will serve. As we honor them and serve their vision, we will actually be able to sow into our own destinies. When we honor our leaders God's way, then we will open up our lives to receive God's abundant favor and blessing. For 5 years, I worked for Teen Challenge after I got done. And I remember the last 3 years that I worked for them, I had a much different vision from Teen Challenge. It was different. And God started to give me a burden for something else, but he had not told me to move. And so I remember having this sort of like weird, being in this weird place where I was really passionate about other things than what they were passionate about. And yet God left me under their authority and leadership in my life. And what's incredible is like that last year or two, I had an opportunity to sow into something I was kind of like not really as interested in ministry wise. But I just began to sow into their dream of reaching every addict across the world. And I remember like I worked diligently and I worked very hard and I tried to do everything with excellence, even though it wasn't like what kept me up at night. Like honestly, it was not. But it was where God had put me. And so I remember just investing in their dream and their vision. And what's crazy is when God called me to step out into full-time ministry and to launch Take the City as an independent ministry, you know what they did? To my surprise, they immediately blessed me. They immediately endorsed me as launching a new ministry. And not only that, but they gave us free office space in their offices. And they're a monthly supporter of my ministry. I left their ministry to start a new one in the same town where they're at. Not many people like that. Money, resources, relationships. A lot of people don't like that. In church, in ministry, that's a tough thing. But think about this. I believe that because I was willing to sow into their dream and their destiny and their vision, when it came time for God to move me on, I believe that then they reciprocated it. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes God will put you at a local church and you'll say, you know what? I'm having a hard time here. And I don't know if I totally agree with everything the pastor says or whatever it is, but you know God has said, I want you here and part of this family. You know what? Sow into the dream and the destiny of your pastor. Even if it's hard. I was having a conversation with a guy this week about this. He's having a hard time. It's just tough. But what I would encourage them to do is just sow into the dreams and the destinies of the leaders that God has put around you. And then I promise you guys this, when you begin to step out, not only is God going to bless you, but guess what? I believe then he's going to bring people around you who will start sowing into your dream and your destiny, okay? And that's what you're going to want. Some of you guys are not leaders today. There's many followers in the room. God hasn't put you in a place where you're leading many, okay? And don't be discouraged if that's where you're at. Because one day God's going to put you in a place where you are a leader. And I'll tell you, the greatest thing you're going to cry out to God for is not going to be money. It's not going to be resources. You are going to get on your knees and you're going to beg God that he would put people around you that would really genuinely love you and serve the vision that he's given you and respect you and honor you and be incredibly good at, you know, whatever. But like, that's what you're asking God for. You're like, God, put people around me that can help me do this thing. And so right now, you may not be a leader of a ministry. You may not be leading your business that you want to launch, right? You're working for some guy. And maybe to you, you think he's just an idiot. You could do the business way better than you. Well, guess what? Make his business incredible. Bless that business. Help them. Give them amazing ideas. And then I believe in the future, when you launch out to start that business you want to do, God's going to bless you and he's going to send you the people that you need. You reap what you sow. And so right now, start sowing incredible seed into the leaders and the people, your parents, even tonight. How can you, this is a great question, how can each one of us honor either our spiritual parents, the people that led you to the Lord or the people that are discipling you right now, or your physical mom, dad, grandparents, whoever raised you? How can you honor them tonight? What's one thing that we can do to just honor them and to just bless them? And I believe that as we begin to think that way, that God's going to do incredible things in our lives. Amen? I want to read Ephesians 6 one more time. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Once again, guys, our hearts, when we hear the subject, submission to authority, our hearts, when we hear the word respecting your elders, shouldn't cringe when we hear those things. But we should actually think, wow, yes, show me when, show me how. Where can I do more of that? Why? Because I want you to realize there's incredible blessing that you're accessing. There's like a funnel. And imagine there's a funnel from here to the ceiling, and that water, we want to get some of that water right there. Well, if I want to get that water on my head, I got to stand under the funnel. But if I'm over here, I'm missing out. And that's what it looks like to submit to authority. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing to submit to those that God has put in your life, guys. And honestly, I have had to submit to leaders that relapsed on drugs, that did absolutely crazy things, that like stole, like I've seen some crazy stuff. Some of the first people that poured into my life, honestly, today, I don't even know if they're still alive because they did absolutely crazy things. But God taught me so much through their lives. And still to this day, I try to treasure the things that I still were able to receive from them, even though there were major flaws. Amen? God wants to use the people that he's put above you. And also for those of you that are in here, maybe you are a leader, also know that there are people that God has entrusted you with that as they begin to honor you, let's begin to honor the people back. Let's reciprocate honor for honor. And that just creates this beautiful, loving cycle in our communities where we're reciprocating honor for honor, much like Daniel honored the king and the king honored Daniel. It's just this heavenly picture of just like what it looks like for us to be in the kingdom, where we say, you know what, Pastor Ron, you're twice my age. You've been serving the Lord longer than I have. You know, I submit to your leadership and just the things that God's doing in you. Like, I want to receive that, you know, and that's the truth. I want to receive from Ron. You know, there's other elders in the room, and it's like, I want to receive the treasure that God has put in you, and I can only access that when I give that person a position in my life to hear what they have to say. And if I don't, if I'm prideful, if I'm arrogant and rebellious, I'm just going to miss out. And I don't want to miss out. I want to honor those that God has put above me. I want to honor my dad. I want to honor my mom, like in a real way. I want to honor them so I can really get the treasure from them. How many of you guys want that treasure? Let's stand up. I want to start with forgiveness. And I want to start with just simply responding in forgiveness to leaders and those in authority who have hurt you.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.